afternoon. It's 12:07. You're tuned to Midday Matters Outer Spaces on WBOY Fort Wayne. I'm Sean Beter. Very glad to be with you on this Thursday afternoon. Hope you're glad to be with us. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is the Outer Spaces edition of our show, as we've mentioned before, and Doug Hackbarth is with us once again. Doug, glad to have you back. Glad we didn't scare you off.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here. It's always fun.
And a bit later in the program, as we tend to do, we'll take your plant and garden questions. Of course, we also want to hear what's going on in your backyard these days. Spring is feels so close anyway. So tell us what's going on in your outer spaces. 260-452-1185. Toll free at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. We'll do a little more of that in the second half of the show, but Doug, you brought a special guest along with you today.
I did, Sean. I brought a gentleman with me here today, Clint Kelly. And Clint Kelly is I don't think you're in charge of this organization, but a key player for a Better Fort. And it's a charitable organization. And I'm going to let Clint tell you what it is.
Yeah, tell us. I know we've talked on these programs before about a Better Fort, but Clint, you're here for a special reason today.
Yeah, you can give us the whole rundown, who you are, what your position is, and what a Better Fort does.
Yeah, I'm Clint Kelly with a Better Fort. I sit on the board of directors, and I'm actually heading up a new project called Better Fort Farms. We're trying to bring large-scale urban farming to Fort Wayne. I've been a part of Better Fort for 2 years, and I've been a board member for the last 7 months. And pretty much what a Better Fort is, we try to provide positive life experiences that make a difference within the lives of people in our community. Our focus is on the community development and the retention of talent within our city. Our members achieve this potential through service opportunities, philanthropic endeavors, innovative projects, and cultural discoveries. We prepare to lead our community through service, identity, empowerment, persistence, and education.
A whole lot in that mission statement there. Holy cow! And I know that a Better Fort has been involved in the community in a whole lot of different ways. Can you give us just a quick overview? I mean, of what the organization's been doing just in the last few months?
Yeah, for sure. We are kind of in this transition of being kind of a event-based organization where we have different fundraisers throughout the year to raise money for different charities. And we were really looking for a long-term project that would be sustaining for our organization. And that's when we came up with the idea of doing urban farming. Well, as we started forming these committees and we started doing our research, we found this crazy need for the localization of our food systems in a sustainable community. And it was really boggling at first when we started looking at all the issues that contribute to the localization of our food system. So anytime you walk into Walmart and you go in and you buy those tomatoes or those produce items, on average they were grown 900 miles away.
In a greenhouse.
Or they're grown overseas, or it's a mess. Well, when you look at that, the largest contributor to emissions and the greenhouse gases is the transit of our food systems. And when you go back 100 years ago, all of our food was grown in our backyards. We fed each other. Now we think it's more convenient to go out and buy these items from somewhere else when we can do it ourselves. Not only are we saving money, but we're helping save our planet. It's very green, and we're eating healthy. All the diseases that are contributing to not eating healthy and eating all these crazy preservatives and all these processed foods, all we have to do is just eat local, eat whole.
Sure. And, you know, when you grow your own, number one, you control what chemicals do or don't get applied to those products, those vegetables. And I don't care who you are, you can't buy a good tomato. It can't be done. The only good tomato is one that's grown in your garden out in the sunshine. And they cannot grow a good tomato in a greenhouse. It is not the same thing. And then they have these at the grocery store, fine ripened tomatoes. Whoop-de-doo, they're still terrible. They're no good because they're vine-ripened in a greenhouse. and hydroponically grown. I'm not real fond of hydroponic because it's in a green. It's the greenhouse. I'm in the greenhouse business, and I'm not going to slam greenhouses. But for growing tomatoes and a lot of other vegetables, it's not the same thing as growing them outside. They need to be in direct sunshine, and that's the only – you can't duplicate sunshine. Can't be done.
And Clint, this is the type of project, you know, we've heard, it seems like, more and more about it in the last few years in communities really all over the country, it seems like. Just a bit north of us, I know a lot of folks in Detroit are taking up vacant lots and planting there. Can you tell us a little bit about the inspiration behind this project? Why do you think it'll work here in Fort Wayne?
Well, it's kind of weird. It seems like Fort Wayne's the last to get anything. It actually started 15 years ago out on the West Coast in San Francisco, the whole urban farming movement, and it slowly progressed to the Midwest. Really, when we started looking at our business model, Fort Wayne's unique. We're a totally different city. We're not Detroit. We're not Chicago. And so what we looked at all these different urban farms and all these different business models. Well, Detroit, what their people start doing, they start doing all these guerrilla-type gardening, taking over lots, not getting permission. Other organizations are buying, purchasing lots from the city. Other organizations are leasing them. And really, they're just really trying to feed their community. And so we looked at that. We looked at Chicago and Growing Power out of Wisconsin and really started looking at how they had it more of a business through their CSA programs and really the amount of food and the way they were localizing their food. So we took that and we started working. So when we designed our project, we wanted to alleviate a burden to the city. So we started purchasing and looking at all these different lots throughout the city. Well, from the ACCDC, there's 618 vacant lots in Fort Wayne right now.
The ACCDC, I'm sorry. Do you recall what it stands for?
The Allen County Community Development Coalition.
Yeah, that's right. I couldn't remember. I had a blank slate there for a moment. Sorry, go ahead.
So they're managing these properties, and these properties were from people that had foreclosed on their mortgages and who had completely vacated the premises. They get condemned. They get torn down. Next thing you know, you have this empty lot. Well, the next thing you know, last year, $32,000 was spent on just mowing those 618 properties.
Wow.
Who pays for that? Us as taxpayers. Mm-hmm. So it's really a burden not only to the city and the county, it's to us as taxpayers. $32,000, I mean, that could have paid somebody's salary for a job. That could have added another job or some other thing for our city to put our money a little bit more wisely. So that's really a big thing that we're trying to do is work with the city and take over these lots. So we've purchased six properties. We have four on Creighton, which is the 700 block of West Creighton between Fairfield and Broadway. And then we have two lots on Sutton Field, which is a 600 block, one block east of Larez Park. So in the 46803 and 46807, we have two urban farms going in this year. We also have the last undeveloped acre in Ludwig Park out north off Washington Center Road, and then an acre lot out towards Devil's Hollow off of Boyd Center Road. So we want this project not to only impact the LMI neighborhoods, the low to moderate income neighborhoods. We want to impact everyone, so the people out in the suburbs to the people downtown.
Wow. We're talking with Clint Kelly from A Better Fort about Better Fort Farms, a project to get urban farming, well, growing, I guess you'd say, in Fort Wayne. And we want to hear from you if you have a question or comment for Clint. Maybe you're involved in this right now. We'd love to hear from you this hour. 260-452-1185. Toll free at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. And of course, just a little bit later in this hour, we'll be taking your gardening, your general plant and garden questions and comments as well. Clint, you've made the food case, you've made the financial case, but a lot of folks would say there's also a community building case in this as well. It's bringing people together over, areas that formerly maybe separated them, kept them apart, or just served as an eyesore for the neighborhood.
Well, it's kind of crazy that it's 2013 and Fort Wayne's still segregated in its parts. between race and religion and age groups. And what this project will do, it provides a community gathering space to bring people together. And there's no other way to bond with a person than to actually sweat and get down and get dirty with somebody. I mean, that's just the way it is. Once you work with somebody and you have to feel them out, that's just a great bonding experience. So we want to impact everyone, every age group, every race, every nationality, and bring them together and show them that we can work together to feed our community and we can come together as a whole.
This might be a good time for Clint to say how people can get in contact with him through their webpage.
Absolutely. Well, give us some information for folks if they're interested in finding out more.
You can always find us on Facebook at A Better Fort. And you can go to our website at abetterfort.org. There's several different volunteering opportunities that we have throughout the year. Just contact us. Just follow the prompts. It shows all the events that we've done, the turnouts, what we're planning to do on the future. Definitely sign up. You get on our mailing list. We have a MailChimp, and we'll send you out different newsletters and stuff like that. It's pretty amazing. A Better Fort has 400 dedicated volunteers that come out that at least do one event every year on average.
Wow.
We have 5 board members, 12 committee heads. It's really amazing to see how many people are involved and how many people are catching on and catching wind and just
getting it sparked. Yeah,
for sure.
We have a caller on the line. We'll get to John in just a moment. But Clint, I want to ask you before we do, what type of folks, who's involved in this urban farming project so far? I mean, you have these lots now, or are you working the fields so far already, or is this we're looking ahead to this coming growing season?
Oh. Right now, we're doing all our development and planning. We're working out some deals with some material sponsors. We're hoping that's going to be pushed in the final stages the first week of April. We're hoping to start planning the third week of April, and we're just moving forward. We're definitely talking with different fiscal agents through the non-for-profit to help us through that whole transition from becoming a business into a non-for-profit. It's just a time thing. We started this project, I think it was the first week of September, and really took off in December. Everything fell into place. Now we just have to do the whole legal process and get everything set in place so we can start planning.
And as far as folks who want to get involved, young and old, neighborhoods across the region, everybody get down to the plots. All right, let's take a call here. And of course, if you want to get in touch, it's 260-452-1185 or toll free at 800-471-9264. Let's open the phones here and go to John. John, you're on Midday Matters. Good afternoon.
Hi. Hi, Clint. I heard about your project a couple times, a couple connections. I'm involved with a group called Love 46807, which is 46807 zip code.
Yeah.
I heard some of the gardens are in there, and we've got kind of a community plan, and this is one of the aspects that we looked at is to have more urban gardening going on. And one of the things I would like to throw out there is that my wife and I took the step of kind of converting our whole yard to garden, including our front yard, which has mostly greens in it, and we grow year-round, and our neighbors have been very tolerant. Thank you very much if any of them are listening. But not just using vacant lots, but really encouraging people from the property they have, you can grow a tremendous amount of produce in a very small area. And for those low and moderate income families, it makes a big difference on the budget. So I just wanted to get a comment about that, whether you're pursuing that at all. And just one other thing to say, maybe as you're looking at getting that nonprofit status, just from working in that world some, sometimes finding a good fiscal agent that just houses you for a while lets you get out of the blocks a lot faster and get a lot more done, and they can get grants. You know, you can do grants through them and things. Time's right. I wish you good luck. But check out the 46807 page on Facebook and get in contact with us about us really helping you in that zip code.
And John, will you stay with us for a moment here?
Sure.
I know Clint wanted to respond.
It's funny that you're calling in. I actually meet with Dave Schaub tomorrow, so we're going to be talking about it.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and I actually met with Papa yesterday, so it was pretty exciting getting involved with all the neighborhood associations. When we're talking about the localization of our food systems and providing sustainable communities, Better Fort Farms isn't only selling produce. We've partnered up with the Purdue Master Gardeners, and we're providing their members the opportunity to teach classes to the community. So the biggest thing is we want to see people growing their own food. We want to see the Victory Gardens come back from World War II.
Yeah.
We want to see what Russia has done for the last 100 years to feed their country. We really want our community to be sustainable, and that really has to get back to every household participating, growing. And the people who can't, they can purchase from the farmers markets, they can buy the CSA programs. If they don't have time, there's options. Everybody thinks it's convenient to go to Walmart. We want to show the community that there's a more convenient option.
John, let me ask you. You mentioned that you've converted most of your outer spaces there to farmable land. For those folks who might hear this and might think that's worth looking into, was it a lot of work? I mean, what kind of time did you have to put into just the conversion and then into the farming process itself?
Well, you know, one thing is you build raised beds, so you're not trying to redeem soil that's not redeemable sometimes. It's old clay and rock, and you bring in a bunch of decent soil from places like Felger's and build some boxes real quick, and you're off to the races. And, you know, that's the way to do it. And a lot of people say, my soil's not good enough. Well, go get some soil and do it. There's an upfront cost. There's an upfront time that you invest in it, but after that, it's pretty easy. And the other thing is, we've eaten from our garden all year long. You know, we're still having salads. Had a wonderful one yesterday, and those greens are about done, but I cover the greens in the winter, and you can farm year-round. And one thing, Clint, I'd say that planting in April you should be planting now. Put those greens in the ground, the seeds in the ground, and do a simple hoop house, and you'll have everything a month and a half earlier than you would if you wait.
It's as simple as all that.
That's a huge difference. I mean, you get a lot more season for those greens that like the cold weather in the spring.
Right.
So no, it's I think it's remarkably easy. People say they don't have a green thumb. That's pretty silly. It's easy to learn. There's wonderful resources out there. There's a beautiful book called Edible Estates. I wish our yard looked like these. These are very artistic, and they show the beauty that you can have with vegetables in a front yard. So there's just a whole lot of expansion of thinking and expansion of gardening that we can do.
John, we appreciate the call and the perspective as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. That was a good call. And, you know, Clint and I were talking on the way here. He rode with me in the car, and we talked just about the same thing that actually when I was doing a lot of gardening, most of my stuff in the cold crop stuff was being planted outside about the last week of March, which is a week from now. And that is true, and they can tolerate some snow or frost or cold, light freezes, and so it can be. But I think Clint is getting started on this thing, and he's kind of pressured for time. So, you know, time's running out. But he knows he needs to get this cold stuff out there. It's just a matter of
one thing is, though, we're in the city, and when John was talking about contaminants in the ground, we're doing raised beds. Well, when you're talking about we're installing 84 by 30 raised beds, mm-hmm. that's a lot of lumber. So we really have to work out these contracts for the material donations, and that's really what's holding us up. I'd like to have started planted a week ago, but it's not a perfect world scenario.
And I think we should mention, too, that a lot of the soil you can get the organic amendments like lime, bone meal, potash, and you're not really contaminating the soil with these organic amendments. Okay, so that solves that problem.
We need to take just a quick break here. We'll talk more urban farming when we return, and we hope you'll get in touch with us this hour as well. If you're doing it already, if maybe you have some advice for the rest of our listeners, or if you have a general plant and garden question or comment, do give us a call. Get on the line with us, 260-452-1185. Toll free at 800-471-9264. Of course, our Facebook page is up, as is our Twitter page, and you can email us middaymatters@nipr.fm. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters Outer Spaces.
It's time to meet music.
Hi, I'm Julia Meek, and what's on for this week's Meet the Music? A wide and wonderful world of original music from Sean Ellsworth Hoffman, Chase Hewlin and Alex Quaintance, and Postmodern Prohibition. That's Thursday night from 7 to 9 here at 89.1 FM, or listen online at nipr.fm, a two-hour serving of homegrown delights here on Meet the Music. I got my guitar.
These days, people go to great lengths to shed the stress of daily life. There's acupuncture, deep tissue massage, meditation, yoga. At All Things Considered, we offer our own type of healing, invigorating news stories that span the rainbow of human experience. Nourish your mind, weekdays on All Things Considered from NPR News, an escape from the ordinary.
This afternoon at 4, here on WBOI.
Last year was the hottest year in the U.S. on record. On the next Fresh Air, Justin Gillis talks about his New York Times series, Temperature Rising, examining climate change and extreme weather. Also, Jake Tapper looks back on his years as ABC's White House correspondent and looks ahead to his new CNN show, which starts Monday. Join us this afternoon at 1 here on WBOI.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by United Way of Allen County, helping kids succeed in school with 15 education network partners, offering ways to mentor or tutor a child. UWEducationNetwork.org.
Past 12 o'clock, it's Midday Matters, Outer Spaces on WBOI. I'm Sean Beter, along with Doug Hackbarth from Broadview Florist, and with us this hour as well, Clint Kelly from A Better Fort. We've been talking about Better Fort Farms and the new urban farming movement that we're seeing in Fort Wayne. It's probably not so new, but I know Better Fort Farms is acquiring properties and looking to make a big splash here. We want to hear from you. If you've been doing this for a while, if you have some advice, some tips to share, we'd love to hear from you. 260-452-1185, toll free, 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters on nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. I know we have a number of callers on the line here. Let's open the phones and go to Samantha on line one. Samantha, you're on Midday Matters. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hello.
Hi. How are
Hi.
You? How are you,
I'm
Samantha?
Good, how are you?
Good. Talk away.
Oh, well, okay. So my name's Samantha, and I'm currently working with a friend of mine to turn our entire yard into a farm, a garden, whatever you feel like of calling it.
Wow.
And as I was just listening to your show, I heard that one of the problems is all the lumber needed to make the beds. And I have some suggestions on that. You can go to any, like, company that gets large shipments of items, and a lot of times they have old pallets that they need to get rid of, and they don't want to have to go through throwing them away and breaking them down, and so they're more than willing to have you come and pick them up, and if with care and proper tools and stuff, you take them apart, you can use that free wood to then make your beds. And that's how we've done it here at our house, and it's working out magnificently.
Really? A lot of success for a low, low price.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's free. Besides exactly. The work you have to do and the gas to get there, but that's minimal.
That sounds fantastic. And Clint, I have to ask you, is Better Fort Farms, I mean, kind of considering all options here when it comes to materials and other resources?
Yeah, for sure. What we're looking at is for each bed, we're looking at 6 pallets times 80. It was just the material donations, finding a sponsor. We were trying to go down that route.
Sure.
If it comes down to it, definitely. I mean, we'll definitely look into it for sure.
All right. Samantha, thanks very much for the advice best of luck. It's an exciting time.
I mean, right now our cold frames, we just went out and checked them about half an hour ago, and they're at 72 degrees. And our onions are already sprouting and everything. So.
Holy cow. Well, congratulations and best of luck as the season rolls on.
Thank you. Best of luck to all of you as well.
Thanks so much. Have a great day. 260-452-1185. Toll free at 800-471-9264. I have a Facebook post here from Holly. Holly says, as an organization that's been doing this urban farming in Fort Wayne now for 3 years, I welcome ABF to the party. One caveat with these properties, you've got to be sure they're zoned appropriately, or putting farms gardens on them just can't happen. Let us know if we can help you out with some seeds. So we'll get you in touch with Holly here a bit later on, Clint. Let's talk briefly about that, though. It's not just getting a property and getting the materials and going. There are these zoning issues and other legal matters to deal with as well. Can you talk just a little bit about how that's going so far?
Yeah, right now actually is an amazing time for Fort Wayne because the city and the county are rewriting all the provisions and all the zoning laws. So we've been holding a public forum the first Thursday of every month at Pint and Slice downtown, the upstairs of Pint and Slice. And it's a public forum. We called it a pub four, and we're getting suggestions from the community, seeing how they want to see these laws changed. And the cool thing is we're seeing everything from livestock to the beehives to urban farming. And right now, the way the laws are written, I can't put up any exterior structure like a shed. Well, I need a shed. I need to put my tools somewhere. They say I can't put up a fence. Well, I need fence for security. So it's really cool to see how they're rewriting these laws, and they're making it more garden friendly. So hopefully in the next couple of months, we'll see those rewritten. We can start literally working, expecting how these laws are going to be written, so we can start putting up fences and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So things are changing.
We want to hear from you, our listeners, this hour. We're talking about urban farming and Better Fort Farms with Clint Kelly. And, of course, we're taking your plant and garden questions as well. 260-452-1185. Toll free at 800-471-9264. We'll get to an email from Jennifer in just a moment here, but we have a caller on the line. Let's go to John. John, welcome to Midday Matters.
Hey, good afternoon. How you doing?
Very well. Go ahead, please.
Well, I got the first thing I want to say is that I have a blast sharing zucchinis and tomatoes with the neighbors, okay? Really brightens up people's day. But I was really calling for some soil advice, if you guys could share. I've got some black currant, some elderberry, and some gooseberry on order. And I'm just looking for a little insight on soil prep.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to need some additional, what I call Michigan peat. That's the heavier peat.
Okay.
It's got more acid to it. And then you can get granulated acid type fertilizers. You can get, of course, you can get the kind you mix with water, the mir acid, which is what Miracle-Gro calls it, acid-type fertilizers. But don't get crazy with it. I mean, it's just a minor adjustment. Of course, bone meal seems to be good for most all perennials, including vegetables, as an additive. Of course, if you get your soil tested, they'll tell you exactly what to do. Otherwise, it's just guesswork.
Can I get that done at the extension office?
I don't. Can you?
Yeah, they'll do all the soil testing.
They'll do soil testing? Well, there you go. I wasn't sure about that.
Perfect. Okay, great.
Cool.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot, guys. Have a great day.
You bet.
We appreciate the call. Have a good one.
Thanks.
260-452-1185, toll-free at 800-471-9264. And speaking of soil testing, Jennifer says in her email here, on the vacant lots that once had homes on the site, have you guys done soil testing for contaminated soils? If not, are you planning to? And will you make the results of that study public? And if the soils are tested positive for contaminants, how do you plan to modify your plans for a farm on that site? A lot of questions in there, but let's tackle them one at a time. Soil testing going on these new lots?
We did the first round of soil testing through the Extension office that told us how nutritious the ground was. Now we're working with SEC to do the actual next step for like a Brownsfield case study.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working those avenues. What we're planning to do, just right off the bat, we are building raised beds and there will be a barrier. So we'll have 10 inches of soil through our raised beds and we're going to have a barrier. Sure. So there's nothing can leak through.
Sure. And I believe that too. Yes.
Let's see if we can get one more caller on here before we have to go to a break. Let's get Phil on the line. Phil, you're on Midday Matters. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks so much for having me. I just wanted to say I'm really excited about the efforts that are going on with the public forum and reworking zoning and whatnot. I also wanted to share something that I thought was really exciting, that I received a document from the Department of Planning Services here in Fort Wayne that basically says it's not officially written into law and ordinances and whatnot that gardens are okay in every zoning area, but the document also said that because of the conditions and the support of this type of thing right now, there is kind of a blanket policy that in any zoning, gardens are accepted for people to grow their own food.
Wow. So an unofficial but a general policy you're seeing from the city that says go for it.
That was my understanding. I went down to the Department of Planning Services and asked them about it, and it was a piece of paper that they gave to me there.
Holy cow! Well, congratulations. It sounds like you're ready to go.
Yep, good info.
Really excited about this, and I'm glad that there's a lot of momentum and a lot of different groups working towards it.
Can you tell us what your plans are for growing this year?
Yeah, I have a house near downtown, kind of the Wells Street area, and it's got a double lot, so a vacant lot attached to it. It was lit that way originally. There was actually never a house on it. And basically trying to blend kind of a market garden, your traditional stuff, also the concept of a food forest to the extent possible, using trees and fruiting bushes and these types of things.
It sounds fantastic. Well, congratulations and best of luck this season.
Hey, thank you so much.
All right, take care.
Bye.
260-452-1185, toll-free at 800-471-1185. 9264. We have another caller on the line, several questions waiting in the wings. We have to take a break for the news, so I hope our listeners will stay with us. This is Midday Matters.
Great question. That is a great question.
And that's a great question.
Wow, that's another great question.
That's a great question.
Oh, that's a great that's a great question.
That is a great question.
What a great question.
Fresh air weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. I'm Sarah DeLeo with WBOI News. State lawmakers want to help ensure more students leave high school prepared for college classes by moving remediation out of higher education. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports on legislation heard in the Senate Education Committee Wednesday.
31% of Hoosier students who graduated high school in 2010 and went on to a public college or university required remediation. And Ivy Tech Vice President Jeff Terp says students who have to take remedial classes aren't likely to continue.
The number one obstacle for a student completing an associate degree at Ivy Tech, completing a technical certificate like Senator Kenley was asking about, or transferring to another institution, the number one obstacle is remediation.
Proposed legislation would require high school officials to identify 11th graders who are likely to fail the graduation exam or require remedial classes. Those students would then have to pass a college or career readiness exam or take additional classes their senior year, eliminating the need for remediation in college. Northwest Allen County Schools Superintendent Chris Himsel says while he supports the idea, he's worried about cost.
I'm scared to death on what's going to happen with our current graduating class when they get to the seniors, because it's the first group that will have went all 4 years under the budget cuts that occurred that took away resources.
The committee is expected to vote on the bill as early as next week. If it passes, it will likely go to the Senate Appropriations Committee. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
Indiana's efforts to expand Medicaid using the Healthy Indiana Plan are being pushed back because the state never held public hearings on the proposal. Governor Mike Pence submitted the waiver request to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services last month without holding the public hearings required by law. Federal regulators kicked the waiver back to the state in a February 25th letter from CMS. The letter was forwarded to the Associated Press on Wednesday. The state has scheduled a pair of public hearings for next week. A spokeswoman for Pence was not immediately available for comment Wednesday afternoon. Pence asked CMS to allow Indiana to expand Medicaid using the state-run Healthy Indiana Plan. He has argued that traditional Medicaid is broken and fraught with waste, corruption, and abuse. And Indiana highway officials say they'll have extra road crews working in the coming weeks to patch and repair potholes. The Indiana Department of Transportation says there's typically an increase in the number of potholes on state highways in the spring when temperature and moisture conditions make conditions ripe for potholes. Potholes begin when water seeps into the cracks in a road and freezes. The ice makes the layers of pavement beneath the surface expand, and when the ice melts, it leaves behind space that collapses under the weight of traffic. Highway crews plan to seal 1,820 lane miles during the current fiscal year. The department urges drivers to slow down and be alert for paving crews in the coming weeks. You're listening to 89.1 FM WBOY Fort Wayne. Now back to Midday Matters Outer Spaces.
It's a quarter till 1 o'clock. This is Midday Matters Outer Spaces on WBOI. I'm Sean Beter, along with Doug Hackbarth, and Clint Kelly from Better Fort has been with us throughout the hour. We've been talking about Better Fort's efforts through Better Fort Farms to get an urban farming revolution going here in Fort Wayne. If you have questions about Better Fort Farms or want to share your urban gardening story with us this hour, give us a call. Share your thoughts, 260-452-1185, or toll free at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. And we're also taking your general plant and garden questions this hour. Looks like we have a caller on the line here who's been waiting very patiently. Let's see if we can get Catherine on the air. Catherine, welcome to the program. You're on the air.
Thank you. Hi, Sean.
Hi.
This is a Catherine you know. You were actually at my house last weekend. But
Catherine,
great,
one of our board members.
urban farming happening right on our street. My neighbor kept me in heirloom tomatoes and peppers while I kept her in peaches all summer. So some sharing going on. We would love to see expand even further. But my question is actually about my peach tree itself. It's a very old peach tree, and I failed to spray it over the winter months. Am I too late to give it any love to get some good peaches out of it this season?
Absolutely not. You want to get out there the next time the temperatures are up in the 50s and 60s and hit it immediately with some dormant oil spray. Dormant oil spray will smother insects, diseases, and things like that, and you want to do it before it starts to bud out. And
right.
So this is still perfectly fine. Usually March is a month for doing that. We haven't had that warm spell this March like we have most Marches. You'll have a week or so. I'd like to see when you do it, though, that the forecast is for 2 or 3 days of nice weather.
And
okay.
What
temperature range are you looking for?
Well, it's supposed to be warmer than 45. But warmer than 50 is even better yet. And then you don't want it to get extremely cold for a day or two. You know, I think we're going to have, and when I say extremely cold, I mean freezing. We should have some days coming up here fairly soon that will, the lows will be in the upper 30s to low 40s. And the highs will, of course, be slightly warmer than that. And that's when you want to do it. So you need to get ready so that when it happens, you can run out and spray yeah. that with dormant oil.
Is there anything special I can do for it because it's getting so old to just keep it happy and healthy?
Well, peach trees are crazy. They just tend to grow sideways and branches yeah. break and half the time.
I love it. I love the architecture yeah. of it. It's going to break my heart if I ever lose it.
I know it. And half the time when you see someone with a peach tree, they got a giant 2x4 propped up under a branch to keep it from yeah. snapping. But pruning it to a degree where you don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. And again, you can prune it. You can still prune it. We would call that like selective pruning while it's dormant. In fact, you could do that immediately and okay. then be prepared for the dormant oil as soon as it warms up.
Thank you, Doug. That's great.
Uh-huh.
Catherine, good to talk to you again and have a great rest of your week.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. 260-452-1185. Toll-free at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. We have a few comments here on Facebook. Ashley says, "This is so great. My husband and I moved here a year ago from Louisville, where there are awesome farmers markets and CSAs. We live in Auburn, where the farmers market is lacking, so I'm excited to hear that there are greener food sources in Fort Wayne. Can you share some info about the CSAs?" And Clint, that sounds like one for you.
A Better Fort Farms is offering CSA memberships, and that's community-supported agriculture. And a membership is $400, so 12 weeks out of the growing season, you're going to receive a box of produce every week between 10 to 15 pounds, enough to feed a family of four. So on average, you're spending about $33 a week.
Wow. We were talking over this last break about the process you're planning to go through. It's not just growing to sell. You're also donating some of the food as well.
We're going to be selling at the different farmers markets throughout Fort Wayne, and through that program, it's going to segue into our next program, our donation. For every pound that we sell at the farmers market, we're going to turn around and donate a pound back to the community.
It sounds like more community building on top of community building. We have more comments on Facebook here. Let's see. We had Ashley. We also had Sarah. Sarah says, "Great program. I'm the project manager for IPFW's River Fest, June 22nd. We are hosting a farm to fork area this year and would welcome any organization who's interested in sharing information about this initiative to contact us and join in the fun and learning." So anybody who's interested in getting in touch with Sarah about Riverfest, check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/middaymatters, and you can get in touch with Sarah. And our friend Janet got in touch on Facebook as well. Janet says, "Clint, I just read about guerrilla gardening recently. Have you heard of it? Sort of sounds like an extreme version of urban gardening. Do you know if there's anyone taking part in this in the Fort Wayne area?"
It's very funny that that's coming up because we just had a pretty big discussion about guerrilla gardening.
What is guerrilla gardening?
It's when a group of people get together and literally in the late hours of the night, they go to any random spot and they go in and they'll plant a couple of trees, do some landscaping, put a couple of park benches. Then the sun comes up. Next thing you know, you got a garden or some type of park. And the people who do this, they know that there's a good chance that it's going to get torn down the next day or something could happen. But what they're seeing is...
People don't.
They harness it. They're like, "Oh my gosh, yesterday there was nothing. Now there's a little garden.
And they
let's
like
take
it.
Care of it." Yeah. It's pretty awesome. We'd definitely like to see something like that happen in Fort Wayne. any suggestions, shoot us an email like clint@abetterfort.org.
I hope they come by my place and decorate.
Heck yeah.
We are talking this hour about urban farming with Clint Kelly from A Better Fort, and we're taking your plant and garden questions as well. So get in touch with us in just a few minutes left in the program. 260-452-1185. Toll free, 800-471-9264. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
United Airlines spends millions on marketing to build trust and fill seats. A single viral video called United Breaks Guitars knocked the wind from beneath their wings. Companies no longer control their own reputations, and Bob Garfield of On the Media fame says, that's good for us. I'm Neil Conan. Can't buy me like. Bob Garfield joins us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This afternoon at 2 p.m. here on WBOI.
For keeping on top of the news.
You're listening to the BBC World Service.
I'm Robin Lustig.
I'm Julian Marshall.
This is Owen Bennett-Jones with NewsHour.
For finding out what's happened.
They're out on the stage, the protest leaders, still trying to rally their supporters.
And for knowing why it's happened.
They've often then turned to the Taliban as another way of earning a living.
Stay in touch with the world with NewsHour from the BBC.
The BBC NewsHour, weekday mornings at 9 on WBOI.
Great question. That is a great question.
And that's a great question. Wow, that's another great question.
That's a great question.
Oh, that's a great that's a great question.
That is a great question.
What a great question.
On Fresh Air, you'll hear unexpected questions and unexpected answers.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
It's 6 minutes before the top of the hour. This is Midday Matters on WBOI. I'm Sean Beter. Thanks so much for being with us for this edition of our program. We've been talking about urban farms and answering your general plant and garden questions this hour as well. We have a caller on the line here, just a few minutes, so we'll try to get as many folks on the air as we can. Let's go to line one. I believe it's Ephraim. Do I have that right? Ephraim, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
Welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Well, thank you very much. I'm calling to thank you for all the help that you've done for us, for the Fort Wayne urban farmers, and I'm calling to commend the Better Fort Farms for their efforts. You know, we can't have enough green area. My grandmother, Mama Cook in Alabama, had this big display of plants on her porch in a variety of recycled pots and things like that. And that struck me, and it's been kind of cemented in my mind, all the greenery that she had on her porch in the middle of nowhere where the blacktop ends back there in the country.
Isn't that great?
I've tried to reproduce that here in Fort Wayne. I want to say thanks to Doug Hackbar for all that he's done for Fort Wayne urban farmers, and want to offer our services, having done urban farming in Fort Wayne for about 30 years. I want to offer our services to the Better Fort Farms and would be able to help them in any way that we could.
And Ephraim, we were talking about you before the show started. The question is, are you willing to come on the program in a week or two or three?
Oh, well, sure. I'm great. Willing to come on the program as long as I can get it set up with my employer. But at the same time, we are a green community. Those of us that participate in the gardening, the nurseries, we all are like brothers and sisters in a lot of ways. And so it's very important that we support each other. So we at the Fort Wayne Urban Farmers, we operate out of Fellowship Church over here on Tillman Road. They've endowed us with 14 acres. We're stewards of 14 acres of ground. And we're here to support any efforts by our citizenry to establish some greenery.
Well, great. Now I know how to get a hold of you at Fellowship, so I will get in touch.
And Ephraim, if you wouldn't mind, just for safety, send us an email, middaymatters@nipr.fm, and we'll be in touch.
Okay.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the kind words and for the call, and have a great day.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Right. Thank you.
Ephraim's got a name like Elvis. You don't need the last name. You know who it is.
You don't forget.
That's right.
We have one more caller on the line here. Let's go to, is it Julian on line two?
Yes, Julianne.
Oh, Julianne, excuse me. Welcome to Midday Matters.
Thank you. It may seem like a silly question, but I had heard at one point that you shouldn't go out and dig around in your flower gardens so early, especially when it's this muddy. And because I wanted to explore the idea of planting for the cool climate plants, is this just a fallacy? What is there something I need to be careful of doing?
No, you are 100% correct. If your soil is wet, you cannot work it or it'll mess it up. Here's the thing. A person needs to plan ahead, and they need to get their soil ready in the fall.
Okay.
What I used to do is I would either get it ready in the fall, or I would find a warm, dry spell in February, more like in March, and I'd run out and I'd rototill. That's if you have a rototiller. I would rototill a plot before it rains. And then I would cover it with a giant piece of plastic, which I have plastic accessible to me being in the greenhouse business. And I would cover it with plastic so that when I was ready to plant the seeds and the cabbage and the lettuce and all that stuff, I could simply pull the plastic back and the soil was basically ready. But you're right. If it's wet, you cannot go out and work it or you'll cause problems. If you have a problem with a lot of clay and whatnot, you need to get your soil worked in the wintertime, even if you don't cover it. Get it worked and don't smooth it out. Leave it worked, and the winter frost and freezes will break those clumps up for you throughout the winter.
Okay. Thank you.
Julianne, best of luck, and thanks for the call. Have a great day.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We just have about 60 seconds left in the program here. One more Facebook comment from Mary. Mary says, if you want to start urban gardening, do not think you need to start big. I started with 10 raspberry canes in one existing bed when we bought our house. Every year I add to it, adding perennial fruit and an annual vegetable or two. Could not build raised beds, so I do composting and have replaced poor soil with good as I add to the garden each year. Great tip, Mary. Thank you so much. And we've reached the end of the program here. Clint Kelly from A Better Fort, thanks so much for being with us today. One more time, very quickly, how can people get in touch with you?
You can get a touch with me at clint@abetterfort.org. That's clint@abetterfort.org, or go to our website, abetterfort.org.
Sounds great. Clint, thanks so much. Doug Hackbar, thanks to you as well.
Thank you.
Thanks to everybody who got in touch with us online and by phones. I'm Sean Veter. This is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 HD Channel 1, streaming online at nipr.fm. This is WBOI Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester. Fresh Air with your local host, Katie Anderson, is coming up next. It's 1 o'clock. Have a great day.